Day 85, Sunday, January 29th. Exodus 8. Exodus 8 1-32 NKJV. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Say to Aaron, Stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord." And Moses said to Pharaoh, "Accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only." So he said, "Tomorrow." And he said, "Let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only." Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, Stretch out your rod, and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be." And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us." So Pharaoh said, "I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. Then Moses said, Indeed I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord, that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Daily deep dive. From the UCG reading plan on the gods of the Egyptians that may have been targeted by this second plague, one of the gods worshipped by the Egyptians was Heket, whose image was a frog or a woman with the head of a frog. Heket was the goddess of birth, midwives and safe deliveries, frogs, in moderate numbers, being seen as signs of life, renewal and happiness. After the overabundance of them, and then the stench of huge piles of dead frogs, it would seem that the goddess Heket would have lost credibility. Furthermore, the court of Hapi, mentioned above, included crocodile gods and frog goddesses, and the primordial gods Nun, Kek and He were each depicted as a man with a frog's head. This plague, though imitated by the magicians, causes Pharaoh to yield. But his stubbornness then prevails and he changes his mind. End. Verse 3, frogs were everywhere and on everything. It's hard for our minds to imagine this moment. Frogs are in all your food, and jumping into the food you are trying to prepare and where you sit and sleep. It seems it would have been maddening. Here is what Josephus records. An innumerable multitude of frogs consumed the fruit of the ground. The river was also full of them, insomuch that those who drew water had it spoiled by the blood of these animals, as they died in, and were destroyed by, the water, and the country was full of filthy slime. As they were born, and as they died, they also spoiled their vessels and their houses which they used, and were found among what they eat and what they drank, and came in great numbers upon their beds. There was also an ungrateful smell, and a stink arose from them, as they were born, and as they died therein. Verse 9-10, God told Pharaoh before the frogs came exactly what would happen. To further reveal that the true God is in complete control of every detail, Moses essentially tells Pharaoh, You tell me when you want me to pray to God and make this all stop. You tell me the time you want it to stop and here's what will happen. There would have been no doubt or wondering by Pharaoh that God made these frogs come and made them leave. Verse 14, a massive cleanup job occurred. God didn't just take them away and make it easy on them. The people now had to gather up a massive amount of dead frog carcasses from every nook and cranny and put them into piles. It was probably exhausting and disgusting, and then there they all sat, filling the land with a terrible smell and sitting there to rot and break down over time. Third plague. The UCG reading plan states the following about this plague. Though the Egyptians revered no specific god of lice, so far as we know, they did worship an insect god, Kepper, who was represented as a scarab beetle. Furthermore, we should see how this plague was a slap at the Egyptian gods in general, who were unable to protect their subjects from the infestation. Indeed, Harpakhurd, Horus in child form, was invoked to ward off dangerous creatures, while Imhotep was besought as a god of medicinal healing. But beseech as they might, there was no relief. Even Pharaoh himself was considered a god, the divine incarnation of the sky and sun god Horus, yet he personally suffered from this plague. The lice infestation could not be imitated by the magicians. They, therefore, yield, but Pharaoh does not. End. Verse 17, could you imagine that in a dusty location, that all of a sudden that each speck of that dust becomes alive, on you and your animals and begins moving around? Very gross. Verse 18 to 19. Finally, the magicians can't not mimic this plague and are forced to admit that only this God being that the Hebrews served was capable of this. This plague does not cause Pharaoh to yield, and it is not clear to me when God removed this plague. Fourth plague. Regarding the plague of flies, the UCG reading plan states, concerning the word flies, the Jameson, Fawcett and Brown commentary states that these were not flies, such as we are accustomed to, or perhaps not only such flies, as Egypt had and still has those too, but diverse sorts of flies, i.e., flying, buzzing insects, Psalm 78:45, the gadfly, the cockroach, the Egyptian beetle, for all these are mentioned by different writers. The worship of flies, particularly of the beetle, in the form of the scarab god Kepper, was a prominent part of the religion of the ancient Egyptians, 1961, note on Exodus 8:20-31. Furthermore, as the flies crawled all over them, flew into their eyes, covered their food and buzzed incessantly around them, adding to their misery. Where was the Suprema Moon, helper of the pious and god of the wind, to blow away this plague? Where was the guardian goddess Moftet and the protector god Set? Finally, the divine Pharaoh begins to bargain, agreeing to let the Israelites sacrifice to God in Goshen. But Moses points out that this would be an abomination to the Egyptians, since they considered it detestable to sacrifice sheep. See Genesis 43:32, Genesis 46:34, and that, now really hating the Israelites, they might stone them. So, with flies still buzzing around him, Pharaoh agrees to let the Israelites travel a short way into the wilderness to sacrifice. But once again, the stubborn ruler changes his mind. And, verse 23, through these plagues we have clearly seen that God is showing his true power of when to start/stop a plague, and now we see God show Pharaoh and the Egyptian people, and God's people too for that matter, that even within the craziness of an insect swarm, that he will put a limit to where it can go and who it will bother. God's people will be spared not only from this plague but by all the rest. The Egyptians would now see a clear difference between the two sets of people, and God's people would feel the impact of being spared and redeemed out of their trouble, Exodus 6:6. Notice what the UCG reading plan draws out regarding this distinction between the Egyptians and God's people. Before sending the fourth plague, God says that he will prevent it and the remainder of the plagues from afflicting the Israelites in Goshen. Thus, the first three plagues had been experienced by everyone, including the Israelites. But the seven last plagues, out of 10, afflict the Egyptians only. That the seven last plagues are distinct is quite interesting in light of the fact that we actually find this phrase in Revelation 15:1, in reference to the final plagues poured out on rebellious mankind, following a period of suffering that will come on God's people, physical and spiritual, and on the rest of the world. And, just as in Egypt, God's people of the end time will be spared the seven last plagues. And, verse 24, flies is in italics. The Hebrew word is for a thick or heavy swarm of insects. Josephus adds the following about these insects, for he filled that country full of various sorts of pestilential creatures, with their various properties, such indeed as had never come into the sight of men before, by whose means the men perished themselves, and the land was destitute of husbandmen for its cultivation. But if anything escaped destruction from them, it was killed by a distemper which the men underwent also. And, verse 29, it's again Moses, who goes before God to ask God to end this plague upon Egypt.